morning I'm going to talk to you about only what the Father does. I do want to encourage you, as Pastor Kenny so eloquently said, we do invite you, encourage you, and challenge you to sign up for Read Through the Bible. We have lots of spots. Dave Leiby, who's playing our bass here, is signed up at 12:30. He'll be standing right here reading the Word of God. No matter what else goes on in this room, we'll do that this week. So we'd love for you to sign up and be a part of that. If you have questions, ask one of the pastors at the end of the service. We'll be at the doors. We can help you with that. Our goal in studying the Word of God again this morning is that we need more Jesus in our lives. The last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the fact that when Jesus says something, we need to just believe it. Doesn't mean you can't wrestle with it. Doesn't mean you can't question it. But you do need to believe it. You need to live by it. We need to trust Him at His Word because He is who He says He is. His Word tells us who He is. And also, it gives us the power to live this life, as has already been said and sung this morning. Jesus, when we last left our discussion, had just healed a man who had been lame for 38 years. He commanded him to rise up, take up his pallet, and walk. And he did that. As he did that, you'll remember that we talked about the fact that some of the Jews who were there questioned Jesus being able to say that. Number one, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That was a violation of the law as they understood it. Secondly, we also ended with this last week, Jesus was claiming to be equal with God, and they had a real problem with that. And so that discussion continues, and this morning we're going to finish chapter 5 by looking at Jesus' response to those Jews who were questioning him. Now, what he's going to do is kind of flip their perspective, their understanding of who God is on its head. He's trying to give them understanding of the scriptures that they have been reading and studying, and many of them know these scriptures backwards and forwards. So that's not an issue that they don't know the Word of God. It's that they don't understand the Word of God, and they're not seeing it the way that God intended for us to see Jesus. All scripture, Genesis through Revelation, points us to Jesus. And I want you to see that with me this morning. He's trying to help these religious leaders and the Jews who were there that didn't agree with him to understand what he's trying to say to them. So join me in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but he has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." So let's pause there. There's more to this, this answer to these Jews, but I want us to make sure that we're not getting confused. There's a couple of things. You'll see a pattern here Jesus has used, and remember, these are the words of Jesus. This is not somebody telling us what the words of Jesus are. This is not somebody trying to teach us about Jesus. This is Jesus himself. And notice that several times already, you heard it, he said, "Truly, truly." That literally means, pay attention, I'm teaching you something that you need to take hold of. This is truth. You need to hold on to it. Now, all of Jesus' words are truth, but he's pointing out to them some things that they need to pay attention to, that if they will grab a hold of, will change everything about their relationship with him. Notice again in verse 19 that the Father and the Son are in complete union together. They are in relationship. The Son does only what the Father tells him to do. He does nothing of his own free will. Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he was fully man. He had free will. He could have done anything that he wanted to do. But nowhere does it say in Scripture that Jesus went out and did his own thing. He only ever did what the Father told him to do because they're in relationship together. Verse 20 tells us that the Father loves the Son, and he shows him what he does. But notice that he says in verse 20, Jesus said, greater works are coming than even what the Father has already done. Things that you will marvel at. Now, they have already seen miracles take place, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. They've already seen incredible things. They're living in creation that God gave them. Christ was the agent of creation, as you've already heard said today. All of that is a part of who God is. But he's telling them that something greater is coming that they will be able to marvel at. And if you think back with me to John chapter 3, when we were talking about Nicodemus in our study of John, he told Nicodemus, Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again, that everything had to change. And you'll remember that I said at that time, I believe that the greatest miracle is salvation. Salvation hasn't come yet through Jesus as he's discussing this with the Jews. He's trying to help them understand that the scriptures that they've learned and memorized and live by, even though their perspective is a little off from what God intended for it to be, they are missing some of the major points of Scripture, that everything points us to Jesus, points us to the Messiah who's coming, and now he's standing in front of them, and he is not just going to heal people like we saw last week in the healing of the lame man, but in fact, he's going to provide salvation when he not only dies on a cross for your sins and mine, but he's raised to life, defeating the curse of sin. He continues on in verse 23, and he says, the Father and the Son are both due honor. They are completely unified as one. Jesus isn't getting any honor among these men right now. They're questioning him. We already saw last week, they want to kill him. They don't like him. They think that he's living contrary to the Word of God, but in fact, he is the Word of God. But they're missing it. Verse 24, Jesus says there's no need for judgment if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In fact, if we're already believers, we pass from death into life. Death is not something to be feared if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because death means you're with the Father. You're in his presence. Notice that he says in verse 27, or verse 26 and 27 that the Father and the Son both have the ability to give life. Remember, the Father and the Son work in unison. The Son is not subservient to the Father. They work together. The Father tells the Son what to do, and the Son is in complete agreement with that. But it's not a subservient relationship. It is a tight-knit, equal relationship. The Father and the Son are together. They're doing all things together for the good of all of us in offering us salvation. And these men, these religious leaders, are missing it. He even says in verse 27, God gave Jesus the authority to bring judgment. God's not the judge. Jesus said this himself in John 3, verse 17. He didn't come to the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But he is the judge. He's the one who gets to decide whether those who come in belong to him or not. Then he says in verse 28, a time is coming when the dead in the tombs will hear his voice. And those who are dead will hear his voice. And those who trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, verse 29 says, when they are raised from the dead, they'll be saved. And those who rejected Christ will be condemned or eternally separated from the Father. We've been learning this verse together, and you've even said it with me this morning, but think back with me to John 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has what? eternal life. Eternal life is much bigger and greater and far beyond this life. But you've got to believe in the Son. And remember, believe isn't just I have it in my head. Believe means that your whole life is controlled by Him. He's your Lord and your Savior. Everything about you is about Him. And though that which is not about Him, you are working as He points it out to you to turn it into Him instead of your own desires. We want to be like Jesus, where nothing we do is without the Father. We want Him involved in everything. But the second part of that verse, John 3:36 says, but he who does not obey the Son will not see what? Life. But the wrath of God abides on him, the one who doesn't believe. Exactly what Jesus is saying here again. The wrath of God is real. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to think about it. The judgment of Jesus Christ is real. There are going to be people who don't get into heaven because Jesus says they don't belong to me. He even said it in the Sermon on the Mount that there will be people who say, hey, what about me? I've done all these things for you. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not about doing stuff for him, it's about knowing him and allowing him to be Lord of your life. You can be like that lame man who laid there or was sick for 38 years. We don't know how long he laid there. When Jesus came and healed him, the scripture said immediately he was healed. But he had to get up from there, take up his pallet and walk. What if he had decided to lay there? To you and I, that would be ridiculous. This man has been healed. He's been laying there. He's been trying to get healed, to get into the water. Jesus comes along and heals him, and he's going to stay there? That sounds ridiculous. But some of us have done that. We've heard about Jesus, but we've said, you know what? I want to lay in my sin a little longer. I like sin more than I like the salvation that Jesus offers me. We love wallowing around in that sin, and then we get ourselves in trouble. We cry out to God and say, God, please help me, and he helps us, but we never fully give our hearts to God. We never trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's as bad as that lame man who's been healed. Salvation has been given to him from his condition, and he just stays there because he's become comfortable in his lameness. God doesn't want us comfortable in our sin. He wants us to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The story continues. Jesus continues in verse 30. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. Again, let's pause there. Let's understand what's being said. Jesus again in verse 30 reiterates that he does nothing of his own initiative. Remember, he's in relationship with the Father. It's not the Father telling him what to do, and then he goes and does it as a being subservient to him. They're in relationship. The Gospels are clear that Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. He was talking to his Father because they're in relationship together. They're equal. They're doing the same thing. Their goal is the same. It's not different. They're working together, and the Son seeks to do the will of the Father only. They have the same nature. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're God. Jesus says in verse 31, to make his point, he says, if I ever did anything on my own, it would be a lie. The testimony would not be true. because he's not there to bring glory to himself. He's there to allow people to come to a right relationship with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is the one who provides that way. He's the one who's going to die on the cross. Verse 32, he says that he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, who is also one. He says, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the testimony which he bears of me is true. Remember at his baptism, the Spirit of God descends like a dove on him. He was there with him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together. The Holy Spirit only speaks of truth, and the Father testifies of the Son. Again, they're in complete union together, relationship. Verse 33 says, John received and testified of Christ. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that John the Baptist, who came before Jesus, came to be the Messiah or the Savior of the world, even though there were Jews who believed that he could have been. That's why some of them went into the wilderness to be baptized by him. But you remember what John said when Jesus came, I'm not even fit to untie his sandal. John knew his place, but the Jews didn't fully understand that. Jesus continues and says, John was a lamp that lit the way. Remember, they had been in spiritual darkness for 400 years. No prophets spoke of God for 400 years. That's why there's nothing between Malachi and Matthew. There's 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Nothing. And then here comes this guy, John, and he's saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and people are getting baptized because of that message. But notice what he says. John was a lamp. He wasn't the light. Jesus is the light. He's not a lamp. He's the light. Jesus' testimony is greater than John's, but they didn't accept or believe his testimony. In Isaiah chapter 35, listen to what the prophet Isaiah said about the coming of the Messiah 700 years before he comes. See if you can recognize who he's speaking of. Isaiah 35, beginning in verse 4, say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy, for waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabah. In other words, there's going to be things happen that only God can get the credit for. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. The Messiah, when he comes, will do miracles, but the miracles will be one thing, but the greatest miracle is salvation. He saves you, as it says in verse 4. Verse 37, it says, the Father sent the Son and testified that he would. The Old Testament's all about Jesus coming. And then Jesus comes, and the Jews are like, well, who's this guy? He can't be the Messiah. He doesn't fit what we understand of Scripture. But they weren't God. This is God's Son who he's in relationship with. Verse 38 says, his word doesn't live in you, or you would believe the Son. They know the word. They know it backwards and forwards as Jews. They've been raised on it since birth. But they don't understand who Jesus is. Let's finish Jesus' answer to these Jews in verse 39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. But if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? You see what Jesus is doing? He's trying to help them understand that their trust and their judgment have been wrong about the Scriptures. All of them point to him coming, and here he is, and they're rejecting him. They're trying to kill him, as we saw last week. Verse 39, he says, they believe eternal life is an understanding in the word. But in fact, it's really in Jesus whom Scripture points us to in every single way. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:17? He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Verse 40 says, but they are rejecting coming to Christ because they want to put him to death. They don't believe him. They don't trust him. But he's coming as the fulfillment of the word of God that they know backwards and forwards, yet they're missing him. But his glory isn't from men. He's not coming to have people applaud him and make him feel great in some way. He's not coming for that. Yet he knows them. It's not in their hearts. Verse 43, he says, because he testifies of the Father, they don't believe. But if somebody else comes in the name of God, they'll believe them. But here's the Son of God standing in front of you and you're missing him. Verse 45, Jesus reminds them that their hope is actually in Moses and in his writings. But if they truly understood the writings of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, if they understood the writings of Moses, they would see that the focus in those writings is on the coming Messiah. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. If they truly understood Moses, then they would believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But if they don't believe in Moses, then they won't believe in Jesus. We've already sung about it this morning. Jeremy's brought it up. But this Palm Sunday, these verses, while they're not Palm Sunday verses, they remind me of what was happening at the time. If you think back to the story of Palm Sunday, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He had come in there many times. He came for festivals. He came for sacrifices. He came to teach. He came to do miracles. And here he comes in what will be his last time coming into the city that nobody understands. It's his last time but him. He tells his disciples to get a donkey because he's going to ride in on that donkey. And as he does, the people are gathered there laying their coats on the ground as a sign of respect, and they're waving palm branches. They're shouting, Hosanna. In other words, they want Jesus to be their new king. They want him to defeat all of their enemies. They want him to come in and to be, take over the Roman Empire and put them out of the Jewish space and allow the Jews to be the Jews and become victorious all over the world. What they don't understand, but Jesus does, he's not coming in as a conquering king. He's coming in as a suffering servant. He's coming in to make a way for salvation for them. The greatest miracle of all is that he removes our sin. He died on the cross for our sin. He understood what was happening here, but the people who were waiting on the Messiah to come were missing him. If we want more Jesus in our life, then we've got to believe that he is the Son of God who gave us salvation. If we want more Jesus in our lives, then we have to trust that when Jesus says he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, that's it. You can question it if you want to. You can doubt it if you want to. But if you stay so long questioning and doubting that you don't trust it, and you don't trust him, then you're going to miss out on eternal life with him. John says in here that no one has seen him in his fullest form. Well, Moses met with him face to face. Jesus, the Son of God, says no one on earth has seen him in his fullest form. If you want to experience him in his fullest form, that only takes place in heaven where he lives. And again, those who believe in him will spend eternity with him. And I believe you'll be so in all the first million years, you won't care about anything else but worshiping the Father because of who he is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's the one and only that gives us salvation. Do you believe that? Does your life represent that? Or are you trusting in your own ways? Only his will really work. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you again this morning just for these incredible words of Jesus. He could have called down fire from heaven and put these people out of their misery, but he didn't. He didn't come to do away with them. He came to bring salvation to them, even to those who wouldn't believe, even to those who wanted to kill him. He died for the sins of those who questioned him to try to trap him. Father, thank you for your patience with all of us. But thank you that you made a way for us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Help us trust you with our full lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.